49ers receiver Brandon Ayuk chose an interesting way to end his posting blackout on Twitter or X. Ayuk tagged Steelers coach Mike Tomlin as speculation swirls about Ayuk's long-term future with San Francisco. Ayuk tweeted, at Coach Tomlin, they saying we twins. What you think? 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh reported Tuesday that the Steelers, quote unquote, have looked into a potential trade for Ayuk, who's under contract with the Niners for one more season, but of course could request a trade if a deal can't be worked out. So Keyshawn, what do you think is going on here?
Well, I saw the picture of Brandon Ayuk and Coach T side by side.
Yeah, it's a
little bit.
Yeah.
No, a little bit. I think Mike Tomlin looked more like Omar Epps.
He does.
But I don't think he's sending any sort of message like, come get me. I don't think he's doing that, even though there's a report, like you said, that came out of Pittsburgh that they kicked the tires and sniffing around the possibility of adding Brandon Ayuk.
Yep.
This is the same thing that happened with Deebo Samuel a couple years ago. And they wind up, Deebo like, I don't want to play here. I don't care. Y'all not trying to pay me. And John Lynch, kind of his negotiating style, as you can tell, is to extend, so to speak, negotiations as long as possible. That's just the way he does his negotiations. If you look at the history with him and guys that are up for contracts, it doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about Deebo Samuel.
Bosa.
You look at Bosa.
Yep.
I mean, he just...
Bosa missed camp.
Training camp or whatever. Yeah. So it's not, okay, whatever you say. So I think with Brandon Ayuk, who they desperately need, I mean, he was a 1,300-yard receiver for him last year, a 1,000-yard receiver for him in 2022. He had like 8 touchdowns 1 year and 7 in another year. So he is very productive. I don't see where George Pickens... You're going to have to address him here real soon because he's a nice player.
Yes.
And he's going to keep getting better now that they got Russell Wilson and Justin Fields and they got a different offensive coordinator to get him the football. So his numbers are going to go up. His production is going to go up, which means his bank account is eventually going to go up. And Brandon Ayuk is a $27 to $32 million receiver. You can't have another $20-plus million receiver. It's the same problem that the Cowboys with any team. You can't, the Cincinnati Bengals, any team that got two dominant receivers, you can't pay them that type of money. Mm. Well, when you say, well, what about San Francisco and Deebo Samuel? Well, Deebo Samuel is slight. They pay him as a running back. They play him as a receiver. They kind of take the and use it that way.
Yep.
And it's a nice number. But remember, they did his contract already. So it's a little bit different. Pickens and Ayuk, essentially, you got to do them around the same time. It'll be tough for Pittsburgh to be able to do. And if San Francisco window is right now an opportunity to win a Super Bowl, you certainly don't want to let him out of the building because you got to replace him with somebody else in the draft has already passed you up.
Mm. Okay, I'm going to start with what is Ayuk's value, open market or to San Francisco as you addressed? I looked it up on Pro Football Focus, and I have respect for their grading system. They graded him as the second best receiver in football last year to Tyreek. That's pretty great. Then I look at what's around him. What other weapons do they have in San Francisco? Well, I'll start with the biggest weapon. It might be Kyle Shanahan. His play calling, his system, the run game makes a lot of things work when you get the when they start just slashing you with the run game, as we saw that last play in that 42-10 game. Obviously, did we do it yesterday? The game in San Francisco where they just ran Dallas off the field. Okay, it starts there, but then I look at Ayuk, and he does have Deebo, and he does have Kittle, and Juwan Jennings. Every time I look up, he's making another big catch. So they're and obviously Christian McCaffrey. So you got weapons galore. Are you the best weapon of all those? I know what I'm giving you. What John Lynch is ultimately going to argue back to his representative is that, boy, you're in a sweet spot
good.
Here.
Good, yeah,
right?
I am.
Yeah,
I am.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
you're not in a sweet spot.
Okay, but they're going to say, maybe you should take a little less to be surrounded by these weapons because your career is going to last longer and you're still going to get big numbers because you get to play in Kyle's offense with all those weapons around you.
When has that ever worked?
Okay. Well, I'm just saying that's going to be the argument.
When has that ever worked, though?
Well, it I don't know.
It never works.
Okay, is there not some truth to that? I think there is some truth.
Well, there's truth to every potent high octane offense. Every one.
And I can't argue with Brock Purdy either. I keep trying to, but he keeps making all the throws.
But when you argue that as a general manager, it falls on deaf ears, man.
Does it?
Yes. Yeah. Because if I'm Ayuk, I'm laughing. I'm laughing because does that mean that Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, Oz Hakeem, and Ricky Pro, and Marshall Faulk, and Kurt Warner, that means that they wasn't good?
Yeah.
Because it's a good group.
Your guy Belichick did a number on them, but it took Belichick at his best.
Yeah, yes, but every high-octane potent offense has a good offensive mind. Sean McVay, okay? Matthew Stafford.
Sure.
Cooper Kupp. OBJ. I mean, I could just go on and on and on and on and on.
So do you think Brandon Ayuk is the second best receiver in football? Can you go that far? Because that's ultimately going to be the question San Francisco is going to have to answer.
Yeah, but I'm not negotiating based on Pro Football Focus. I'm negotiating on what you see, what they see on the field, not what Pro Football Focus is.
Yeah.
Now, when you say, would I prefer to have Brandon Ayuk over Davante Adams? I probably wouldn't.
I would not.
But that's
either.
Me.
No.
I'm not negotiating based on Pro Football Focus.
Yeah.
I like Brandon Ayuk, and Brandon Ayuk, again, is a $27 to $32 million receiver because he's next.
Yeah.
He's just up next, and so is T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, and then somebody else will go back in for some more money based on them.
Yeah.
Justin Jefferson. Mm-hmm. Some would say Justin Jefferson is the best receiver in football. I don't know what Pro Football Focus, because he didn't play much this year, had him ranked a year ago, but they may have had him number one.
And by the way, I'm partial to a guy who wears 88 in Dallas, who I thought about 12 games looked like.
I forgot about CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, thank you.
So if Brandon Ayuk is looking to get 27 to 32, then CeeDee Lamb is going to be looking to get 28 to 33.
He is.
That's just, I'm all the next guy in line.
All right, now back to the tweet. I liked it because I thought it was clever. And again, I don't love the way everybody scrubs and then comes back and, you know, whatever. It's just, it's not my style because I didn't grow up with it. You didn't really come up with it. But it's the way you do business in today's internet world.
Yeah.
And that was clever to me. Hey, Coach T, you know, like to tag him and make it between the lines. It's more subtle. It's more sneaky effective because it's between the lines. And that has more impact than if he had just flat out tweeted, okay, I want to be traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, and look, man, Brandon Ayuk deserves every penny he's going to get. At the end of the day, if he is traded, that team that trades for him has got to give him a new contract.
It'd be part of the deal. You just have to accept that. Yeah, I agree.
And John Lynch is not going to trade him for a cup of coffee. Is Pittsburgh willing to give up?
At least a two. At least maybe a one. Maybe.
You're going to have to.
Yeah, you would.
You're going to have to. Yeah. Are you willing to give up a one and a long-term big deal when you have George Pickens, who is there, is going to look at that and go, well, wait a minute. Y'all just brought him in and just paid him. I'm going on my third year. I'm gonna be up in the spring. Mm. I need my money.
That's a fact.
So you got those type of dynamics that San Francisco or whoever their trade partner is have got to address. If you think about Indianapolis when they did the trade for the defensive tackle with San Francisco, I think it was Buckner.
Oh, yeah.
They got a one for him because they said, hey, again, you in your prime, I'm not just going to let you walk out the door. Give me a one for him and we can do business. They gave him a one. He got his deal with Indy. This is the same situation that they would be faced with Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah. To me, these two receivers we're talking about, if they're both with Pittsburgh, would be similar in their skill sets and their route trees. They're kind of the same guy, but they're both very good.
Brandon Ayuk is, they're similar, but Brandon Ayuk is more of a, he's got a I don't know, kind of like a meaner, street kind.
I understand. I agree. He's rangy, long, and he's got a nasty.
Yeah, and that is partly because of the way San Francisco runs their offense. You can eat if you do these things. Mm-hmm. You block, you play this way, you can eat. We don't want you standing around when a running back is right there getting ready to get hit. We're not looking for that. But I don't think this is going anywhere. I think San Francisco, like I said, that window is right here. Mm. Why are you going to get rid of one of your most important assets when your window of opportunity is right here? The draft is getting ready to be right around the corner.
Yep.
And if you think, though, you can do a draft day trade and you can acquire a cheaper receiver in the second round, third round, whatever it is, that's going to give you the same thing, you just developed a player for another organization. Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't.
But general managers in this league, they do stupid you-know-what all the time.
They do.
They do it all the time.
All the time.
I just drafted this kid, developed him to give him to you? That doesn't make a whole... What am I, a farm system?
Okay, so if San Francisco right here, right now, would take your two for Ayuk, and you said, we'll go ahead and pay him and risk what it would mean to our other receiver, would you do that for a two right now to have both of those guys for Russell Wilson next year?
I would do that.
Yeah, I would, too.
But I know that I'm going to have issue.
You're just going to.
I'm going to have issue with the other guy.
Yeah.
And even if I addressed his contract, now my room is going to be in just a room, not the cap for the team, just the receiver room.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about at least five receivers in that room. That number is going to be through the roof. And I also got to address Justin Fields' fifth-year option. And I also may have to address the quarterback who's not going to play for $1 million in 2025. He's not going to do that if he has a successful year.
He's 1.2 this year.
Yeah, he's not going to do that again. So those are all the conversations and the issues that you face when you acquire players of this caliber.
And Pickens has shown he has some diva in him because he can be in his feelings from one game to the next. And Coach T has to go kind of, soothe
him. Settle him down a little bit.
Yeah.
But people want to get paid, man. They're not working for free.
No.
That's just the reality of it. But Brandon Ayuk, I think San Francisco will take care of him. And, they kind of know what they're doing, I think, with the salary cap.
So you're saying it's advantage Ayuk and leverage in San Francisco.
It's advantage Ayuk. He'll get his money in San Francisco, and John Lynch will play it all the way to the end.
Okay. I would buy that. I agree. I want to talk about Baker Mayfield. Would you believe that yesterday, for once, he took the high road on a controversial issue? That's next.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew, ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel. Back down.
Man, I found this Baker Mayfield response very interesting and out of character. He was asked on NFL Network about how Atlanta, after signing Kirk Cousins, has become the betting favorite and the pick of many experts to win the NFC South over the defending champ Bucks. Baker's response: it is always fun to listen to the opinions, but we are just going to put our heads down and work. That's kind of the MO here. That's what Jason is all about. That's what Todd instills in us. Baker obviously referring to GM Jason Light, Coach Todd Bowles. But wait, for once, Baker didn't fire back at the media or at the Falcons? Keyshawn, your response to Baker's response.
I'm so happy for him.
Go, that's Baker,
showing,
go.
That's showing me a lot of growth, maturity.
It did.
Yeah. That's what it's like. This is not
Baker?
This is not 2018, 19, 20 Baker Mayfield Cleveland. This is a guy in his seventh year, I think, in the National Football, going into his seventh year in the National Football League. This is a grown ass man now. That's good. He doesn't have to.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to fire back. I'm glad he didn't say, "Well, man, I'm not worried about them. We can beat them. We beat them before." I'm good with it.
Yeah,
I'm so good with it. It's taking nothing away from the guy between the white lines. See, now when you get between the white lines, you can do whatever you want to. When you are outside the white lines, now you just be who you are as a quarterback. That growth, you know, that when you're in the field talking to the team and talking trash and trash talking, that's cool.
He does, yeah.
But you don't need to do that outside of the building. And when he was in Cleveland, some of the outside the building stuff, he couldn't, some of the stuff on the field, he took outside the building.
He did.
And he didn't need to do that, but he was young. And when you're young, you do things like that because it's just, that's what we do. And then we grow up and it's like, man, I don't need to get into those battles about what the media is saying because they went and got Kirk Cousins. I mean, he could have very well said, they wanted me. I just didn't want to go there. Look, they got the second choice. They danced with the second girl.
Bingo.
He could have said that very easily, and everybody would be like.
Oh. Or he could have taken a shot. Like, wait, their quarterback makes $50 million a year, and I'm making $30 million?
He could have did that, too. Okay. We went to the playoffs. They didn't.
Mm.
I won more playoff games than he has.
Yeah.
I think he has.
He
right?
has. Yeah. No, he's 2-1. Like,
2-1. Yeah. So he could have done all of those things, but I'm glad he didn't.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm up here talking about somebody different than I would have been in 2019.
Hey, I had to read this about 4 times. Like, am I missing something here? Baker Mayfield has the biggest chip on his shoulder you will find in this league because he was always overachieving. He was always the guy who had to prove himself. He was a walk-on at Texas Tech. He's a good high school
player. But he still got to prove himself.
He still got to prove himself.
Yeah.
I'm with you. But he had to walk on. Then he had to walk on at Oklahoma when it didn't work out with Kingsbury at Tech. And what did he do? He won the Heisman Trophy and got all the way to the national semifinals and lost in double overtime to Georgia.
He was the number one pick in the draft, regardless of what people say.
He was.
It's hard to be the number one overall pick. I would know. It's hard.
It's hard, and you would know. Then week 10, rookie year in Cleveland. Guess who he beat that day? It happened to be the Atlanta Falcons, and he did a number on them. He was 17 of 20 for 216, but 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, QBR of 95 on a scale of 0 to 100. And remember what he said after the game? I woke up this morning feeling pretty dangerous. And it was a funny quote, and to your point, everybody ran to the and it became his signature statement that year when he won 7 games for them. After he finally got the job from Tyrod. By the way, Tyrod's now backing up Aaron Rodgers. We didn't bring him up. They did add Tyrod, so they have a credible backup quarterback in with the Jets. But once he replaced Tyrod, he won 7 games for a team that hadn't won a single game the year before, and that was pretty good. But along the way, Progressive, which is based in Cleveland, Ohio, said, you know what? We love this kid. We're fascinated. He's got big charisma. Big, you know what, and let's see if he's got big enough to do these commercials. And they start doing At Home with Baker Mayfield in that stadium.
Yeah.
And they were good commercials because he's good at it. He can, once he lets his personality come out.
Look, Skip.
Hey.
There's nothing wrong. And I listen and I hear all the time because it is funny, the Progressive commercials, and it's a joke because of the Cleveland connection and all that.
Yeah.
And people, like, he shouldn't have been doing that early in his career. That's not everybody. When you hot.
Okay, but the target gets bigger and bigger.
That is true.
You know why? Because the commercials became relentless.
But that's true. If you are balling and doing what you're supposed to do, Nobody's saying anything.
Which he was for a little while.
Yeah, but he had to continue to keep doing it.
Yep.
And when it didn't go and it all fell apart, it's not because he did commercials. Yep. Remember, the commercials were done in the offseason. In the can in the offseason, they got them, and then they start to push them out over the course of the season.
Yeah.
And I say this to say, I did commercials as a rookie, second year, third year, fourth year player. I did tons of them. National ads for everything you can think of in New York City.
But you were backing it up.
But he backed it up early, too, and then it fell apart.
Mm-hmm. It fell apart.
And so I don't ever want to get on him for the commercials. I get on him because I want him to take responsibility for how it fell apart in Cleveland, that he was part of it, not the... I didn't do anything. It was poor me. They didn't like me. It's all my fault. No, you took part in this problem in Cleveland. That's why they decided to say bye-bye.
They did. There was also the early GQ. I don't think it was a cover story. It was a big article in GQ by my friend Clay Skipper. And he quoted Baker, which I don't think Baker wanted to see in print, but they were just talking over dinner. And he looked up and... He saw Daniel Jones on the screen of a TV in the restaurant, and the quote was, I can't believe the Giants took Daniel Jones. It just blows my mind. And he had just been taken with the sixth overall pick. Well, Baker was pretty correct about the statement, but it came across as outrageous that Baker Mayfield had as yet proven next to nothing, and he's taken shots at the Giants for drafting Daniel Jones.
Probably not a good idea to talk in front of somebody that's going to write it.
All right.
And it's probably not a good idea.
And he wrote it because Baker did say it.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that your friend Duke Baker. I'm saying it's probably not a good idea for Baker to have that conversation on open record, sitting down, doing a story.
By the way, you knew John Skipper at ESPN, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, this is his son Clay, who wrote the article for GQ.
Okay.
All right. So the point is, Baker. Well, remember what. I'm going to use the word again, but you know what Jason Light said as they reintroduced Baker, he said on the prick scale of 1 to 10, he's a 10.
Yeah.
Well, he does have that in him, but Jason's looking at it in a good way because the team loves that. They love the competitor.
That's what I say.
They love the fire.
In between the white lines and in the building, he can do all what he needs to do to get him going so he could get an extension and take him to the playoffs.
All right.
So, outside in a bar at a restaurant, you probably don't want to do that.
You don't want to do it. So the 1 to 10 scale, the 10 didn't come out on NFL Network yesterday when he's asked about the Falcons. He took, I want to say the high road, he actually took the no road. You know, like he just decided, no, I've grown up. I'm not going to do that anymore because I don't need to do that anymore. Because he did get his money. It's good money, and he's got some security there, and he had a really good year following
Tom
Brady.
If he takes him to the playoffs the next 2 years, that three-year deal will be ancient history.
Absolutely.
Because he will then get back in line with the rest of the quarterbacks at the level that he should be paid at.
Right. And listen, Baker Mayfield at 28, to me, he's just entering his prime in this league.
Look, I look at it a lot of different ways. The man's been to four different stops. He's had in those four stops probably 20 different receivers he's throwing to. How many different head coaches
I've lost
in Cleveland?
Count of coordinators.
That's what I'm saying. Think about it.
Next year, he's going to be on his seventh coordinator. I think it
Something
is.
Something like that. But think about Cleveland.
Yeah.
He had the dude that I say looked like a truck driver coaching.
Freddie Kitchens.
Come on, man. Stop.
Stop.
I mean, like, be serious. See, you messing around with Freddie Kitchens as your head coach, as the number one pick in the. I'm supposed to save Freddie Kitchens? you can't win in those situations. I had Hugh Jackson as a head coach.
You did.
I can't win in those situations.
Nope.
You know, and then I go to Carolina, and that thing is just a disaster.
It was a disaster.
I finally get to the Rams, and I look like I can play, but I'm the backup to a guy who's going to the Hall of Fame, and he's the quarterback.
That is correct.
So I finally got my own team with my own receivers. Mm-hmm. So now I can play a certain way and look a certain way to everybody. That's how, you know, you can't just judge a guy. And that's what happens in our space that we're in.
Yeah.
We start judging, and not looking at all the facts of why an individual is where they're at in the position that they're in.
Yeah.
And that's wrong.
It's funny. I thought Baker did not get enough credit for following the GOAT, Brady, and putting up even better numbers this past year than Brady did in his swan song season in Tampa. But you know why? He didn't get any credit because he didn't have any credibility. It's like you can't even put him in the same sentence with Tom Brady. So who's comparing?
No, nobody's going to put him in the same sentence.
Nobody's comparing what Brady did in his last year, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so the point is, through all that, all those dark days in Cleveland and some darker days in Carolina, he had to swallow a whole bunch of pride. He was the first pick in the draft, and Keyshawn, he got humbled.
Yes.
He got humbled.
Yeah.
He ate a whole bunch of humble pie.
It's a lot of players, Skip, as you know, been covering this stuff however long, there's a lot of players that move on to different teams and don't have success. And before you blink, they're at home dropping their kids off to school every day because they can't stand the pressure that this stuff comes with.
Yep.
Okay? Mm-hmm. They're on the couch. He fought through those battles.
He did.
And now, all of a sudden, he's able to hit pay dirt on a nice deal that could take him to the next deal.
Yeah.
There's so many quarterbacks in particular that go to teams after being drafted so high, and they just can't play no more. They can't stand the pressure that comes with being the starting quarterback of a football team.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's so many of them, Skip.
So you made a great point back to me because I was convinced Atlanta would make a run at him because it just made sense. It's a 2-for-1 because if you sign him, you take him away from the team that just won your division. And you hurt them, if not cripple them, at quarterback going into next year, and you've got Baker Mayfield. Instead, they paid $20 million or more a year to go get Kirk Cousins.
I don't know why, but I guess.
I don't either, because I still believe Baker Mayfield is a little better than Kirk Cousins. That's what I believe.
Yeah,
okay.
I would say so. He's probably right there.
But you made a great point. Why tempt fate? Why go to another brand-new situation with $50 million hanging on your head or whatever they'd have to pay for Baker Mayfield? Why not stay where you are and take $30 million because they love you there?
Yeah.
And trust me, they do. All the way up to the ownership, trust me on this, they love Baker Mayfield. They don't think he's Tom Brady, but they love the way he connects in the locker room.
Nobody's Tom Brady.
Nobody's Tom Brady. But this guy connects. He's got that thing where you would like playing with him because he competes, you know? And he's really a good guy. He gets a little full of himself occasionally, but you know what? He's fun to be around.
He doesn't get full of himself, Skip.
Well,
we all do.
Yeah.
We all do. That's part of it.
Well,
if you want to get to the ultimate level of accomplishments and achieve certain things, you have to have a certain moxie to you.
You do.
And you say, well, he gets full of himself and those sort of things, and he's got some toughness to him.
He does.
Yes. Imagine going through what he went through in his career early on to be able to now go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, desperately seeking a quarterback, beating out a guy in Kyle Trask, which is not saying a whole lot, but he beat him out.
It was
competition. He played well.
Yep.
Then he had some rumblings and tumbles, with a couple of bad plays here and there.
And then he took off.
And then in the end, he backed them in the corner. Mm-hmm. So the point that they got to say, well, what are we going to do at quarterback now? Are we going to restart our clock all over again? Mm. Or are we going to take this guy, give him the money, and let him keep building?
Yeah. And are we going to give his primary target his money?
Yeah.
And they did.
Well, I told you, as soon as they paid Mike Evans,
you
got to do both of them.
And Mike Evans loves him, and he loves Mike Evans. So it's a sweet spot for a Baker who's known hard times. And yesterday, to your point, I want to, reemphasize your point. That was maturity speaking.
Yeah.
That's a new guy who's comfortable where he is. And that team is now poised to be pretty good next year.
They'll be okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're going to be at the top of the heap in the NFC, but they'll...
No, but I think they'll be at the top of the heap in the NFC South.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will. Way to go, Baker. Okay, one report says the Lakers have lost Jared Vanderbilt, Gabe Vincent, and Christian Wood for the entire rest of this season. They're gone. Let's see what Rachel Nichols has to say about that.
Back down.
To me, this was a shocking report from Bill Ryder of CBS Sports. He tweeted, sources tell CBS Sports that Los Angeles Lakers players Christian Wood, Jared Vanderbilt, and Gabe Vincent will miss the rest of the season. While Vanderbilt still could return, sources say the expectation is that will not happen. Whoa. Wow. News to me, if true, very bad news for the Lakers. So Rachel Nichols joins us now. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
You spend a lot of time here in LA around these Lakers. What are you hearing about these three Lakers?
Well, look, the Lakers announced yesterday that Christian Wood had arthroscopic surgery on his knee. So he's definitely out 6 to 8 weeks. So we know he's going to be out the rest of the regular season. As for Gabe Vincent, I've actually heard much more encouraging things about Gabe. I've seen more encouraging things, just the video of him around the practice facility. But all of this is a little bit of semantics, Skip. The regular season is only a little bit more than 3 weeks. So that's it. So if a guy misses, like, oh, maybe it's a week later than we thought, maybe it isn't, that could be the difference in is he out the regular season. To me, with Gabe Vincent, the issue is the ship has already sailed. Any of this conversation, it does not matter at all. Because this is a guy who has played only 5 games this season. The guy that you traded for, the guy who was on fire during the playoffs, the guy who shot, what was it, more than 50% from three against Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals, you're not getting that guy. I don't care if he comes back tomorrow, right? So the last step with him is supposed to be his conditioning. If he gets back in 2 weeks, if he gets back in a week, he's not going to be conditioned. He's not going to be the guy that you, Keyshawn, were so excited about over the summer, right? So that's done to me. You're not getting him.
Okay,
and then you look at Jared Vanderbilt, it's kind of the same conditioning issue with him.
Okay, but are we... I'm lost on the semantical part of this.
Okay.
Are we just talking about not coming back for the regular season or for the season, for all the season?
Even if they came back, Skip, what Rachel is saying and what I'm
thinking, I understand that.
It's so late in the game that you wouldn't even be up to speed, regardless what you do in practice, to even be a participant to help us do anything. So the season's lost.
Yeah, I get that.
I mean, I think the report was about the regular season, which, again, three and a half weeks. But even that, again, he could come back tomorrow. To me, that's not what the Lakers are making a title run or not over Gabe Vincent, who's played 5 games so far this year. In fact, I don't think he can even help them that much. He can maybe provide a basket here or there. But no, you're a professional athlete, Key. Think about how long he's been out.
No, it's tough. That's why I said, regardless of what you do in the building and practice and all that, it's totally different in the games. And when you think about it, you haven't put up the shots in games.
I get that.
It's hard. And we most likely going to be in the play-in. Most likely. So what do we get? We win the play-in, we get a series? And he comes and helps us in a game, maybe a shot?
So I feel like I've talked more about Jared Vanderbilt and Gabe Vincent than I have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. No, seriously.
No, that's a lie.
No, but I bring them up every single day that we talk about the Lakers. I'm waiting. And they're not life changers. They're not what you call difference makers, but they're key pieces to what I thought the Lakers could become.
Depth-wise,
that is over.
Depth-wise, at the start of the season, like Rachel said, if we had all of them, we'd probably be in a different situation.
Yeah.
But
Jared Vanderbilt can defend at the highest level. He's long and strong and knows how to play, and it's such a key play. They're terrible on defense, or they're middle of the pack-ish at best. And I told you yesterday, if you look at their individual defensive win shares, LeBron leads, and he's ranked 86th in individual.
Bad defense.
Okay, that's just bad defense. Jared Vanderbilt gives you credibility where you can put him on somebody that you need to bother.
Hadn't played defense on somebody in such a long time.
Well, here's the thing. And look, again, the reports on him are more similar to Gabe Vincent. We could see him back sooner rather than later. But to your point about defense, right? He can contribute a play here or there. But what do you need for defense, especially in the playoffs? You need conditioning. You need energy. Literally just running for 48 minutes straight.
Okay. And the Lakers are dead last in three-point shot attempts, even though LeBron is having a career three-point shooting year. And you look around, and Rui is still over 40%. And if you added Gabe Vincent to this, maybe you'd start shooting more threes because you'd start to be credible shooting threes more than you try, right? And he is a big shot taker and maker because he's done it at the highest level. And I still don't understand how he had a scope and can't come back at all. I just don't get it. And I don't understand on Christian Wood. Listen, you and I talked about Christian Wood when they had him. He's pretty good. He's been around and done all that. Yeah. He's
succeeded in this environment.
He has. And yet, why would you wait a whole month and then he suddenly gets a scope? He hurt his knee and it took a whole month for them to decide.
A lot of guys, though, Skip, don't want to have surgeries. Yeah. They want to fight through it and let it heal on its own. And then when you realize probably the best thing to do is go get a surgery, it's too late.
Trust me, I've had three meniscus. I know what they are. They're not bad at all. And you can
Your body reacts differently. I had the same thing. Meniscus tear, scope. I missed one game.
Okay, that's all you need.
I missed one game. Okay. We had a bye. There I came go. Back. It was fine.
It's today's modern medicine. You can do this quickly if you commit to it. And they didn't commit quickly enough to it. So the odds
are... They made a gamble and they lost.
The odds are even if they're back, they're not going to be back because they're not going to be ready. And plus... As we always talk about, LeBron is different. It's a very special thing that you have to figure out how to find your place in the flow with LeBron running the show.
Exactly.
And you can't throw Gabe Vincent into a playoff mix because it will not work. He won't be able to find his place in the rotation. LeBron won't be able to sort of to know his game well enough, quickly enough. To contribute.
Again, he might have a moment, right? Yeah. I mean, he had some great moments during the playoffs last season. He might have one of those.
We're not saying
he's not going to have that.
But he also played.
You're not going to get it consistently, and your point is exactly correct. Playing with LeBron in the postseason is its own whole thing.
Oh, man.
He hasn't had that. I mean, look, yes, the Lakers have had bad injury luck this year. You said you've talked about Gabe Vincent, Jared Vanderbilt more than almost anyone else. But every team has bad luck at a lot of different points, right? I mean, Ja Morant has not had the season he expected. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns is hurt at the worst possible time for a Wolves team that was poised to make its best run in decades. I mean, this kind of thing happens throughout teams. And the Lakers have gotten largely fortunate that LeBron James and Anthony Davis have not had those major months-long injuries. They really have to look at the Lakers season and say, you guys have gotten off okay health-wise.
You won 32 games or whatever it is.
37 and 32.
37 games.
No. Your team is rounding into form. 37 and 32 in the last game, I know it was against the Hawks, so forgive me. But in the last game, they were shot 58% from the floor, 42% from three. They look comfortable. They're now having this 3 days rest period. I don't think they're in any danger of falling out of the play-in. I see the other teams below them, but Houston doesn't have Şengün anymore, and I'm not worried. Do I think they're going to hop out of the play-in? That is also unlikely with 13 games left to play. This is the team.
Yeah.
And I think that they look comfortable to get out of the play-in, but it's the whole point of it being a one- or two-game matchup is that anyone can beat anyone on any given day.
What's best for the Lakers is trying to get out of it, but you already said that's probably not going to happen with 13 games left. And when you look at it, you fall to that 9 or that 10 spot, don't get to the 7 to the 8, you got two games now to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And there's no guarantee the way that they go up and down from night in and night out that they...
I understand.
You know, that's the part that is scary.
It is scary.
You know, and then you get a D. Russ that lights it up one night and then scores 2 points the next night.
But the Lakers, to me, it is completely about matchups, and we frankly won't know until the last day of the regular season and probably until the middle of the play-in to know what those matchups are going to be. If they get a team in the playing game that they can easily handle, they'll be fine, and the fact that they won't have rested, we'll be talking that week about, they're in rhythm. The other team's rested for a week. They're in rhythm. The Lakers are in good shape.
I don't know that
we could be talking about what a great matchup they have, about a team that can't handle length, which is the case of some of the teams at the top of the West. Or that we could be talking about Denver. And then my feelings.
You look at those teams that they would play in the play-in. I don't know that they could beat a healthy Phoenix. I don't know that. I don't know that they could beat Golden State. They didn't the other night.
You know what? I think they could beat Golden State.
I don't know that they can.
So Golden State's weird because if you look at February, they won 11 out of 13. And now in March, they've lost 5 of their last 8.
Yes.
So you guys keep going back and forth with them 9-10, 10-9. But if you had to go win one game for your life to advance in the playoffs, I believe you could go to Golden State and beat them. I just think you match up well with them.
It's more likely that the Lakers win that matchup. But to Key's point, it's Steph Curry who could get hot on any night. And not every
play. Clay, too. Coming off the bench, Clay could drop 28 on your head.
Could. and LeBron could drop 40 on their head. And Anthony Davis, they don't have a rim protector. They don't have anybody who can deal with them.
But will Anthony
Davis not be dropping 40 is Gabe Vincent.
But the question, my question to you, you say Anthony Davis could drop 40, but will he? Will he drop 40? Will he come to the party?
To Rachel's point, the one thing I loved about the Hawks game, and your friend Paul Pierce was on that morning talking about how the one thing he doesn't like about LeBron right now is there's too much ball hogging going on, too much stat machining going on. You were part of this.
I was here.
Okay. But all of a sudden, I don't know if LeBron was listening, but they go out that night against the Hawks.
Somebody told him.
Yeah, somebody told him. And you know what? He took 14 shots, and AD took 14 shots, and D'Lo took 14 shots.
I think he was 10 of 14. Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
LeBron was 10 of 14.
Okay. Yeah. That'll work. That is a recipe for advancement.
But that worked against the Hawks.
I know, and they're just the Hawks.
That may not work against Denver. It may not work against a fully stacked Minnesota team, which I don't believe the Lakers will be scared of in a seven-game series, but certain teams that work against the Hawks, that work against them.
Yeah. But, Rachel, you're pretty bullish on the Lakers moving forward, right?
I just think that it's completely matchups, right? Yep. I think that they have the advantage in more matchups than they don't, though. So that is why I am bullish, right?
What if there's a Kings in our sight?
That's a problem.
I mean, I know that Skip, you think Sacramento just has their number, right?
Well, look at what's happened. What is it now? 8 out of 9?
They can't do anything
the
with
eight
De'Aaron
are not
Fox.
Even close.
Well, De'Aaron Fox just...
Sabonis,
I was going to say, De'Aaron Fox can't do anything.
I don't understand.
And Sabonis is, 6'9.5" dude dominating AD.
Look, I was at the Kings-Lakers game that was here a couple weeks ago. I thought they were going to light the beam outside the Staples Center. I mean, it was like so much of Sacramento energy in there at one point. But it is hard to bet against LeBron James in a seven-game series against most of the league, just not all of the league. Mm. And all of the league is who you have to beat to win an NBA Finals.
And I'm going to say it one last time against your Denver Nuggets. Not that you love the Nuggets, but you believe in the Nuggets.
I am. They're mine this year.
Yeah, you are.
Talk to me next year. I'll be on someone completely different.
They've lost 8 straight games to the Nuggets, but in 7 of those games, they went to the wire. And I watched the Nuggets again last night, albeit against an undermanned Minnesota without their 3 big guys. But when push came to shove, Joker and Jamal just said, watch this. And so did everybody else. I mean, they got shots from everybody. But they just know how to close.
I don't understand the Joker thing, but I guess I just don't
know. What don't you understand?
I just don't understand how he could just stand, they let him just stand right underneath the basket and just do. I don't understand
volleyball?
It.
Oh, no, he does.
He got a shot last night. The dude backed down and was underneath the basket. I'm like, Put your elbow right in the back of his damn spine. Yeah. Like
Kobe Tracy McGrady shot like that?
Boom. I was like, we ain't gonna never win.
It was that kid Garza trying to guard him.
Then he hit a three from dead center.
He's a two-way player.
He hit a three from dead center. I was just like,
you know what?
I get it, but I just can't. Keyshawn, he
went up the court laughing after he made his three. Like, you gave me that?
No, I saw him. They called timeout, and he was walking back. I was like,
but that's another reason why the Nuggets are so impressive. It's an entire team. They have great chemistry. You can tell that they know exactly where everyone's going to be.
That's just me.
Yeah.
Now what?
I don't like Mike.
Because he said he's your daddy?
I don't like Mike.
He did say that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.